Holy God, so we've made this room and this space right now, Lord, where we surrender for you to do whatever it is you want to do, Lord. So we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. We invite you to come closer, to open our eyes and our hearts to a word you want to share with us right now, Lord. And despite of what I have to say, Lord, I pray that everyone here might be able to hear something that you want to tell them. And we thank you, Lord, for this moment, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Who is this man? That's the question that we've been navigating with our pastors the last few months here at Warehouse. And it's an important question that every single one of us needs to answer for ourselves. But to answer this question, we must experience this man, this God, this 100% human and 100% divine being. And the crazy thing is this, though, that we will for eternity be getting to know who this man God is. That's the crazy thing about it. Because we will never exhaust who Jesus is and all he is about. But this morning in our story, we're going to explore a little bit about this Jesus, this man, and we're going to see what happens when he invades our lives. So we're going to jump right into it, Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 3. Jesus has been sharing with people a whole bunch of different things, and they've been encouraged. He's healed a lot of people, and he's surrounded by a whole crowd, and he goes off into the boat, into the water a little bit, so people can listen to him better from that place, and he starts sharing with us, verse 3. And he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it says it had no roots. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Boom. It's like one of those mic drop situations, right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I can't drop it. They'll be very mad at me if I drop it. But it's like Jesus is like, hey, if you understand, hey, you understand. If you get it, you get it. Like, if you know what I'm talking about. If you kind of hear what I'm saying, I hope you, and that's it. And people were like, what in the world did he just say? Or maybe it was kind of poetry, like maybe there was poets in the audience, so they were like, yes, yes, birds devour, yes, the thorny, yes, the rocky ground, yes.
But still they're like,
and it's true, because then as you go on with this passage, the disciples are like, what the heck did he just say? Like, what is he saying? And they go to him and say, hey, can you explain that? Because that was beautiful, really nice, beautiful story, Jesus. We love you, but we have no idea what you said. So he starts explaining to them what he's talking about. Verse 13 of Mark 4. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He's like, if you don't get that one, guys, how are you going to get them? But hey, I got your back. I'm going to let you know. So he starts out by saying this. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Are you with me? That's how he starts out. And I'm sure they had some conversation about this, but if you read other scripture and understand what he's saying here, let me just give a little background to this. The sower in this story is the man who we're studying about. The sower is Jesus. So who is this man? Well, today, he is the sower, and he's sowing seeds, just putting it out there, seeds of truth, seeds of the gospel, just putting it out there. And this week, it just so happened that this week when I was home and my son didn't have any idea that I was going to talk about this passage. And this passage wasn't even chosen by me. Mark Reams, Pastor Mark Reams, gave me this passage. Hey, we're talking about this. This is what we want to talk about, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, that's a beautiful passage. I'd love to share it about it. That's awesome. And my son, who didn't know any of this, happens to be doing a project for school, puts together a drawing of the sower. And in his understanding of the sower, he said, Dad, the sower is like this, Jesus sowing. And behind him, he draws the cross. So the greatest story of the sower is the cross of him, is the story of himself. It's the story of the cross. It's the power of the gospel and transformation. The sower is Jesus reaching out through the power of the cross. But Jesus can also use people to be his sowers. People that write books, maybe a song, people that sing songs, and you're like, you come here to worship, and you don't really care what the preachers have to say. You're just, I just love going there for worship because worship rocks, and I love it, and I'm praising the Lord, and Holy Spirit's falling on me, and I'm just loving every minute of it, and it's great. And so through music, the sower can sow into your lives as well. Through music, through people that write books, through painting, through an office job, like someone where you're working in an office and you're just portraying Jesus, you become a sower, or they become a sower in your life and you feel Jesus in your heart because of another person. Other people can become sower. Even a student going into high school can become a sower into your life, or you can become a sower as well. So Jesus is a sower and he helps us become sowers as well, sowing his word. But the word is his message of grace. It's the gospel, a message of salvation and transformation. But the word is also himself. So when he plants a seed of his word, he is planting himself so that he can hopefully grow in you. So who is this man? Today he is the sower. He is a sower making more sowers. And he is also the seed, the word, the message that transforms and changes lives. Because it's not just his word, but it's he himself who wants to be in you. The soil, or the ground that the seed is landing in, represents our hearts. Our lives. So now that we have this background intro, let's continue with what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And these people, these human hearts, are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear it, they're like, oh, I hear something. But Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. It's like something pricked your interest, like, oh, is that Jesus calling? But then, whoom, something comes down and just takes it away. Like, it doesn't have a chance to grow. People that are busy doing whatever, but not busy hearing Jesus. And you know, Satan is always lurking to see how he can snatch away a good word from Jesus. He snatches Jesus from us when he's trying to make his point in our lives. And how does Satan snatch away a good word from Jesus? Well, I don't know if you've ever seen Dora. Dora fans out here?
Dora the Explorer? Yeah, okay. You know the fox in that cartoon, right?
Swiper, no swiping. And he's like that, Satan's like that fox. Like something's good about to happen. You're like, oh, we got the thing. We got the thing. Here it is. What's the monkey name? Boots. Boots, we got this. And then all of a sudden, in comes Swiper. And if you're lucky, you get to catch him on time, and you can say, Swiper, don't. Swiper, no swiping. But the thing is that the fox is tricky sometimes, like Satan, and he gets through sometimes, and he snatches that good thing that Dora got. And that's the way that Satan works. He's like that little swiper guy, swiping things away from you that God is trying to land in your life. Let's think of some practical examples real quick of how Satan swipes away seeds or a good word from Jesus, or Jesus himself from our hearts in the form of a few questions. Are you ready for this? Here we go. So, how many of you are on your phones right now? Turn to the person who's next to you or around you. They have a phone. They're like, yo, he's talking about you. Yeah, you know. You see, that's what happens, right? We go into some kind of building, yeah? We go into some kind of building or some kind of guy is talking from up front. And
he could be a preacher, could be a teacher, just sharing the gospel. But we get so connected to this thing, we have to put it out. We just have to
look at it because our minds are so wired with wanting to see this phone here and then. And it might not even matter. We just open it to look at the time like, okay. Or whatever, but we have to look at it. And so distractions, right? Things that take our minds away from what God is trying to tell you. It's like Satan swiping his word from you. So now listen, I know that some of you have this incredible ability to read a message on text or read something on Instagram or whatever that you're looking at and listen to a preacher. You have an amazing ability to do that. I'm sure you do. But when we do something like that, wherever we are, and God or a preacher or a teacher or someone is trying to speak into your life, or even family. Have you been in a family conversation and you're talking to someone? And I'm guilty of this too, okay? So I'm not saying that I'm 100% on this. Someone's talking to you, and or they come into the room or whatever. You're already on your phone, and instead of pausing or stopping, you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And it happens instead of getting full attention. And that's the way when it comes to Jesus trying to capture you, trying to plant a seed in your heart. Well, we kind of swipe it away because we're distracted by things around us. So that's one way. What gets in the way of you spending time alone? And here's another question. What gets in the way of you spending time alone with Jesus and his word? What gets in the way of you taking a moment where you can just be in silence to listen to him speak to your heart through his word and prayer? Because whatever's getting in the way, that's another way that the swiper keeps swiping his seed from you. Here's another one that maybe some of you are guilty of. After church or after you go to worship, whether it be here, Warehouse, or you go to the other worship service at Forest Lake during the rest of the month, or whatever it is, the guy is talking, whoever it might be, he's sharing the word of God, and then you go back home, maybe you go to lunch, maybe you go somewhere to eat, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but you're going around, and you start criticizing what the preacher said. Well, you know, he was kind of boring. Yeah, he got boring. I mean, that never happens with Pastor Juan Martinez or Mark Reams, I know. Or Matt Smith, right? I don't know. But you start thinking about it and start swiping seeds that maybe your kids or maybe that your family members or maybe that your friends were like listening to, but it gets swiped away because you criticize. So criticism can be a form of swiping. Last question, is listening to God a priority in your life? Because what we prioritize gets done. And if listening to God is not a priority in your life, then the swiper comes and swipes the seeds that he wants to put into your heart. So there's just ways to think about how this works out in a practical way in your life. Now, what are some characteristics of a person that is in rocky ground? But before we go there, let's read this type of soil in the following verses here. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So they're hyped up. They're like, yes, Jesus, woo! I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But then there's nothing that's making that deeper in their hearts and in their lives. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, why are all these terrible things happening? But I love Jesus. Why won't they make me do that? Or why can't I do that anymore? And it's like, forget it, I'm done. Now, what are some characteristics in a practical way? They get pumped up about Jesus, but don't get into a deep relationship with Jesus. It's like it's all at surface level. You either go to some kind of weekend convention or you come even here on a weekly basis and they're like, yeah, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I love you so much. But then during the week, you don't take the time to deepen that connection with him. That's a person that's struggling with rocky ground. Because it's like this, you know, it's like when a lady gets pregnant with a baby. You know that when at first she gets, she's like so excited, like, yes, I'm pregnant. Woohoo, we've been trying for so long. Yeah, my baby. You know, and this is a really good illustration because I can illustrate very well this thing. So it's like you get impregnated with a baby, not with food in my case. But then this baby, right, you got to take care of it. You have to nurture it. What if a mom would say, I'm pregnant. This is awesome. And then go back home and be like, I'm not eating anything. I'm not going to take care of this baby inside of me. No. No vitamins, no prenatals. I'm going to smoke up 10 packs a day and take some cocaine. And this baby's going to be, the baby's going to be messed up. I've seen it happen. What if a person would do that? Well, that's what happens when we are like, yes, Jesus is inside me. And then we don't take the time to deepen that Jesus to grow inside of you. Don't take the time to deepen that walk with God, to nurture that relationship. So they accepted Christ but haven't counted the cost. These are characteristics of people who are on rocky ground. They accepted Christ but they haven't counted the cost. They don't understand the power of being cruciform, transformed by the cross. Stony ground hearers depend on themselves instead of Christ. Why, you think you can perform your way to continuous salvation, but Christ is like, no, this doesn't work that way. You think you can like do well to make him happy. He's like, no, actually, I love you already. You don't have to try and make me happy. You depend on yourself instead of Christ. They appear to be good, but they are not good with Jesus, right? You play the part, you look the part, you look nice, but you and Jesus just are not connecting. So you're not good with Jesus. And what happens many times, and I've seen it before, with people who are going to church, looking good, looking pretty, playing the part, playing the, I'm good, you know, everything's right with me and my family, blah, blah, blah. They're not nurturing that Jesus. And so something happens where they snap. Dude, it happened one time. Sorry, I called you dude. Family. It happened one time in a church that I was at that this lady, she always was good. Like, she was a good person or whatever. And she turned, like, 55. I forgot what it was. And all of a sudden, because she was good but not good with Jesus, like, not nurturing that baby inside of her, like, she went crazy. They say it was, like, midlife crisis or whatever it is. But, hey, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have a lot of midlife crisis. So whatever it was, and that 55-year-old, like, she started drinking and clubbing. I was like, clubbing at 55? Are you serious?
But that's what happens. We're good, but we're not good with Jesus. That's what happens to a person that's in rocky ground. A stony ground here
is not completely sold out to Jesus. Many receive the gospel as a way to get eternal life, as a way of escape from suffering, rather than as a deliverance from sin. So when things get tough, a stony ground hearer wants an out from Jesus. Now I hope I'm not depressing you. Like, the beautiful thing is that your heart doesn't have to be a simple path where the swiper keeps swiping or stealing Jesus, or a rocky grounded heart where you are not going deeper with Jesus. You can be different and fruitful. But before we see that, let's look at the next type of hearer. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things or for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So this passage is a little bit more in your face. Like, the characteristics of a thorny heart are people that care more for themselves than they do for Jesus. There's nothing wrong about a desire to, like, you know, be rich, be wealthy, and seeking business opportunities. There's nothing wrong with that and succeeding in those types of endeavors. But if these desires become a priority from nurturing the Jesus that wants to grow in you, Jesus will always be choked out of your life. He will always be choked out of your life. So a question for all of you. What is choking the Jesus that wants to grow in you? What is choking the Jesus that wants to grow in you? Because only you can pinpoint it. For some of us, it could be ambition. For some of us, it could be amusement and pleasure. It's something that consumes our time while we conclude that we never have time for Jesus, right? So Jesus sows, but Instagram sows more in your life. Jesus says, listen to me, but Spotify says, listen to me. Our cares for this world don't just come in making money and trying to get rich. It can also come desiring more of what fills me with cheap joy instead of real joy. So Jesus says, I'm here, but TikTok says, so am I. Jesus says, I have a story to tell you, but Netflix says, I have a story to tell you in 4K. And so it's the struggle between letting Jesus grow and allowing other things to take us away. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that any of these things are bad. And I'm not only talking to teenagers. Adults have the same problem. And I'm not saying that you should stop watching or listening any of this stuff. What I'm trying to say is this. If you are not careful with your time and you don't nurture the Jesus that wants to grow in you, he will be choked out. He will be choked out. Finally, Jesus says, concluding this passage, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Like, it's all good when you allow him to grow. And this is when things get fun. Fruitful living is joyful living. And Jesus is calling all of us to cultivate the garden of our hearts in order to be fruitful, to break up the fallow ground, to remove the rocks, to remove the thorns from the roots, not just prune it at the end, but just go all the way down there and remove it from the roots. That's what he's calling us into. And throughout the Bible, we are told to prepare the soil of our hearts to receive Jesus and his righteousness. But I love the way Hosea put it in his book. He was writing to a rebellious nation, and a nation that no longer trusted God. They trusted in themselves. But in his mercy, God still had a solution. And he has the same solution for us today. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. I love that word from Hosea. I mean, Hosea was literally, his life was an illustration of how the nation of Israel had totally gone away from Jesus, had gone to idols and disgusting things around them. And God was still after them. And he's telling them, guys, listen up. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek me. That when you do this, not only am I, you're going to sow for yourselves righteousness, you're going to reap steadfast love. The greatest thing that every human being needs is love. God said it. The Beatles wrote a song about it. But the greatest thing that any human being needs is love. And he says, when you break up that ground, when you allow me to just rain upon you my righteousness, everything gonna be all right. And I'm gonna take care of you. And you're gonna be loved. And things will get rough. Man, things that try to choke me growing inside of you. But it's a journey. And in that journey, break up that fallow ground. Take out those rocks. Take out those weeds. Take out that thorn. Because when I grow in you, I will rain righteousness over you. Your joy will be great. Your fruits will grow. And you will be transformed by my power and your love. I have a good friend named Billy. He was raised in New York, a tattoo artist creating art on the bodies of hundreds of people, the rich and famous athletes. He met a childhood friend of mine online. And long story short, they end up getting married. And the Holy Spirit starts breaking his fallow ground. Because until then, Billy had no need for God, Jesus. The words would be spread out. The sower would sow over his heart, but it wasn't able to grow in. After years of God's seed swiped away by that nasty swiper, God kept working. And that's the awesome thing about our God. The sower that we have stretched out upon that cross, sowing seeds of his love and his gospel all over you. He never stops running for you. He loves you that much. That's why we sing the song, he's a kept on a running, because he runs after you. So his wife, my childhood friend, was at the house of another childhood friend in Central Florida, and she saw a picture of me baptizing her son who attended our home church. Now, I was telling someone here, another good friend, this morning, that God brought me back to Central Florida, not for my job, but for other reasons. And I believe our home church that your pastors here started a little bit after COVID was done, or COVID was bad. That was one of the reasons why God brought me back here. I know of it. So anyways, one of those young adults, he was a student at UCF. He was attending our home church. He was baptized, and my friend saw a picture of it. And this other childhood friend, Billy's wife, calls me out of nowhere. And understand, I haven't spoken to this friend in decades. And she tells me, I have a teenage son. We don't go to church anywhere, and I was wondering if you would baptize my teenage son because I saw a picture of you baptizing our friend's son, and I started crying and wondering if you could study with my son for baptism. I was like, okay, that's crazy, but of course, we'll start studying with your son. So I would go to their house twice a month, study with the son, and Billy was there listening to this Bible study. His wife, my childhood friend, wanted him to get baptized too, but he was like, nah, I'm good. So after their son was baptized in the same pool that I baptized the other boy, Billy and his family started coming to our home church. They started coming last year with their teenage son, and Billy showed no interest in getting baptized or ever becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, but the Holy Spirit was breaking up his heart's fallow ground. Sometimes we think if we just give someone literature or sermonize that we can change a life for Jesus, but the Jesus way is always the relationship way. It's never changed. I remember one time, this reminds me of something kind of funny. Let me share with you real quick. I was in Publix, and in Publix, this dude came out of nowhere. Like, he popped out of one of the aisles. I'm not exaggerating. I wish I was. He popped out of the aisle, and he started telling me John 3:16, for God to love the world. Just like that, really fast. And I was like, huh. And then he went back into the aisle, and he left. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I'm wondering if somehow, by him saying that to me so fast, that I was going to give my heart to Jesus. I actually wanted to talk to him. I was like, hey, wait, because that's never happened. And you're weird. Can I talk to you? But he like went away real quick. But that's not the way it works. The way of Jesus is always relationship. So in our home church, of which I will share other cool stories when we meet again for worship night at the end of the month, our home church tries to focus on relationships. Making connections outside of a once a month sometimes to grow in Christ and with each other. To create an atmosphere where his word, where Jesus grows in the soil of our hearts. So Billy came to home church faithfully, and his wife would tell me every month that she was praying for Billy to soften his heart. So my wife and I started praying for him every day for his heart. His fallow ground to be broken up by the Spirit of God. For many months, he came to our home church. And Billy kept coming, and our whole group was experiencing some amazing God moments. And the Holy Spirit was planting seeds in all of our hearts. And so the high school Bible retreat was coming up, and I was low on volunteers. So I was like, hey, Billy looks tough and tatted. So I was like, yo, Billy, you want to be my security guard? Because, you know, people will be scared of you, and that's what I need. He's like, okay, yeah, man, I'll help you. I said, okay, cool, bro. Last year's retreat, which, by the way, next week we'll be at that retreat. If you're interested, commercial time, floridayouth.com. Check it out. But last year, God showed up in a powerful way during the retreat last year, and his word was growing in the hearts where 23 people gave their hearts to Jesus and chose to be baptized. One of them was Billy. Dude, and when he started walking on that boardwalk and coming towards me after I baptized the kid, I was crying like a baby. I was like, what the heck, man? You suck. I'm crying now because of you. My wife was crying. His wife was crying. His son was crying. It was crazy. Since his baptism, God has been breaking his fallow ground continuously. Remember, it's not about just accepting him with joy and be like, yeah, Jesus. It's about allowing him, because then you'll lose interest in the Jesus that wants to cruciform your life. So Jesus has been growing in him. He has dealt with Sabbath issues. He's lost jobs, but he has allowed for Jesus to grow in him and continue his journey with this man, God, that loves him in a beautiful way, and he never misses our home church. That's the story of Billy, who broke his fallow ground heart and let Jesus in. Last question for you. How will you respond? For it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. How many of you hear this today want to say to Jesus, Jesus, you know my life. You know my rocks. You know my thorny heart. You know what's going on. You know all about me. But you love me anyways. And so this morning I want to tell, or this afternoon, Jesus, I want to tell you, Jesus, I want you to break up my fallow ground. I want you to grow in me, that everyone might see the power of your grace, your love, and your righteousness. How many people want to say that today? Just raise your hand and tell Jesus that. All right. Holy God, you see these hands being lifted up to me.
We know them so good. We know them better than ourselves. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in their hearts. And do a miracle in each life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.